And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, once again, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer. Welcome, Nate.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, we've recently had another in the long series. I wonder how many City Council meetings there actually have been since the first one. How do we even count that? Let's see, 50 years times two times, well, any case. The most recent one had, it was relatively short, but it had an attraction because there were a variety of people that came and spoke. And I thought we would do two things. One, just quickly touch upon a focus of attention that many of those people in the audience who wanted to be heard wanted to go to, and then move forward, because I think it's more important to say, okay, there have been some concerns expressed about certain activities, and now where do we go from here, and how's that going, so that listeners might have a better chance of saying, okay, what's going on next? So if there was a focus in basically two parts. The first part was mainly because now the Fred Meyer building, the old Fred Meyer building, has new signs on it, they say U-Haul, and people are reminded that something has happened that has changed from a retail establishment of the big box store to something of a different sort. And there was concern expressed about, well, were there choices? Was there a choice of having more review or involvement, whether it's P&Z or the council or whoever, and was there a choice to do that at any point? Or were the guidelines expressed in what you operate under pretty clear about the direction it needed to go?
Well, first off, everything that happens in the city is not necessarily clear, even with the code we have. But the process for that particular piece of property, it applies to the whole city. It's land use, so that's what we have. We have zoning.
Okay.
And that particular property is zoned commercial general. It currently has, and looks like it's going to have, a large structure on it. So that's a building, which okay. Buildings generally fall under the building inspection and building codes. Back in 2004, we didn't have anything in our code that addressed large retail establishments or big box stores. And that was when Fred Meyers bought the property from the church and wanted to build a grocery store, a large grocery store. There's nothing that prevents grocery stores in Palmer. If you look in our code, grocery stores are okay in commercial general.
Got it.
And commercial limited, the two commercial zones that we have and have had for years. So it's private property. So when somebody wants to buy a piece of property in Palmer, they are free to do so. And then when they use that land, they need to make sure they fall within the guidelines of our zoning for land use. If they're going to build a building, then there's other sections of the code. And there's a particular section for commercial general on building large retail buildings. We don't have anything on large commercial buildings. So there's a gap there. If we want to address large commercial buildings, we don't have a retail district. I keep hearing, it's not... It's not in the retail district. There's no such animal in Palmer. The street that we're sitting on right now is not a retail street. Look right next door. There's a school.
Right.
Well, professional offices next door. So there's another, interpretation of what goes in, and the city doesn't require you to go to planning and zoning when you want to open a business. You come in and you apply for your business, and you're just much like you're paying a sales tax, is voluntary. And we assume that you do the research and you're doing the right thing when you apply for a business license. You don't go to planning and zoning and say, is my business appropriate for Palmer? It doesn't go to city council, is my business appropriate
sure.
for Palmer? So the process doesn't involve planning and zoning unless it's something that's requires a variance, or which is an exception, or that's non-conforming use. Those things would go to planning and zoning, and not necessarily to council, the way our code is set up, if there's an appeal, it goes to a hearing officer. So the council, over time, has chosen through the writing of code not to be involved in some of these decisions. So the process is the city manager for this one, this particular property, is, you know, if it's, if we determine that it's a large retail establishment as a business, then it's a, it, we go to a section of code where it says this building was established before 2004. The city manager reviews and determines if it's still appropriate, with the exception of interior remodeling renovations. So when U-Haul showed us their diagram, it had no changes to the outside, none whatsoever.
Okay.
And the city manager doesn't get involved in renovations. That goes to the building code to make sure that they've got the right walls, the right structures.
Sure, from a safety and all the rest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When we talk about storage in Palmer, that's been brought up. You know, it's not specifically stated in code, so you can't have – it's not a permitted use. Yes, to some degree. In 2004, Planning and Zoning and City Council designated CG for storage up on the end of Allen. There's a storage lot up there, and it was, they could have chosen to make that industrial, commercial, or no longer a use in the city. And they specifically picked commercial general. There are some special limitations. The only thing that can go there is storage, but that was the zone that was determined appropriate for storage. The code wasn't changed, but a lot of decisions I have to make are based on what's been done in the past, and that's how we came to where we are with storage on that lot. And then the large retail establishment, it's opened some eyes on our LRE process. I mean, that whole LRE, large retail establishment, after Fred Meyer's built, was, okay, we want to have more control on big box stores. We want to make sure they have adequate parking, that they have landscaping, they have appropriate open space. That lot was kind of the example for that process.
Right.
So if a business were to come in that, like another box store, it's already been determined that that structure and that parking lot and the landscaping is appropriate for large retail. That's the highest use. I don't know what the cry would be if somebody, like, I'll use an example, Chaz Unlimited, which is a car retail. They fix broken cars.
Sure.
If they'd have bought that property and tore the building down and put in a smaller building and put a fence up and put cars in, there's nothing that we could have done because auto repair is a use in commercial general.
Right.
A larger Jinsky's at that lot would be allowed. So yes, it's time, if we want to protect, and I think we do, this little core area, that we need to have a special zoning specifically for this, and then outside of that little core area, or however we define that core area, needs to have another commercial designation, CL1, CL2, CG1, CG2. If we want retail, then have a CR, commercial retail, or something. So that's the point that I was making when I said, here's our Bible, the comprehensive plan. Look what it says. We haven't done that. It's maybe it's time, maybe it's not. There's not a lot of land left in the core area to develop.
Sure.
So it's redevelopment, and we don't address redevelopment in our code very well.
Okay. Let's take that as a pretty complete description of the process that you used and that worked and now
worked. Well, that's whether it worked or not. There's a very strong opinion that it didn't work. It wasn't appropriate, and I understand that, and I value those opinions, and I encourage folks to come to council, and the council does too. Whether it's painful sitting at the table, and you know that the comments were primarily towards administration, have screwed this one up, and I take that. That's why they hired me. I have to make decisions. And
well, I think, and in defense of my choice of work, it worked to the point of, yes, getting people to the council, but also that U-Haul is there. And it's operational. And my sense was that it's not something that's going to be rolled back so much, and that's why I wanted to devote a good portion of what we're doing this morning to looking ahead. because reference were made to PNC in terms of taking a look at many of these ordinances and updating them or bringing to the point where they could be discussed. And many of these areas that are either gray or needing to be updated would be updated. I took the time to go to the City of Palmer's website. I have to say it was pretty easy to do. I went there, and in the search box, I simply put in comprehensive plan. And sure enough, it popped right up. And I was able to go to it and be reminded, because it was back in 2006 that it was approved. And I was reminded of a number of things, how the plan sits within the borough. And it's the borough that signed off on it,
yes.
Which was an interesting thing. And I noted that it was an outside group that had conducted the work of putting together the comprehensive plan with a lot of public meetings, et cetera. I read through it, and I said, yeah, back in 2006, this looked pretty good. It was built upon some other work that had been done. The University of Washington had been up here and had done a very interesting design look at downtown. So it wasn't just a casual thing. And then I was reminded it was 2006, and I read further and noted that there were a number of suggestions made about what would be important things to do over the next decade. And to my knowledge, that's where perhaps we have come after maybe being distracted by all those things that can distract in terms of really significant work that's done, whether it's improving the sewer system, et cetera, et cetera. And somewhere over the years, the intention to do the work just sort of was put into the background, and various city councils had not picked that up until recently. And that's where I'd like you to describe, what's the present circumstance? We have P&Z charged with a review. Well, you describe it.
So last year, every year, the council has a joint session with the various boards and commissions we have. In the last joint session with the Planning and Zoning Commission, the council charged the Planning and Zoning Commission with reviewing Title 17, which is our zoning.
Okay.
They started that process the next meeting. The first meeting on the review was, okay, how are we going to attack this? Basically, it was, okay, we'll take it from R1 to the very end. I forget what it is. There's some other things besides non-conforming use, but we'll take it from front.
So when you say,
back.
For those listeners who are not familiar, when you say R1, you're talking about the variety of designations.
Correct. So there's different zones. So Title 17 is our zoning, which is land use. As a city, we've taken that, or the borough's given us that authority. The Alaska statutes say that they can do that. So we have our own planning and zoning land use authority. When you go outside the city limits, it's the borough. When you go into Wasilla has its own planning and zoning. And Houston has its own, I believe. So there's a lot of no man's land where there isn't zoning. If you look out just outside our borders at the Springer system, that's not necessarily zoned residential. It's just residential because that's what developers have put in. There's
right.
farms, there's commercial entities out there. So it's really the wild, wild west once you leave the city borders. But in the city, we've designated several different zones. So R is all residential. We have R1, which is single family. R2, which is multiple, up to two dwelling units. And then R3 isn't necessarily three, it's just multiple. Then R4 is for large, like apartment complexes. So there's different zones in residential. And then you move into the commercial. We have commercial limited, which identifies certain uses, and then commercial general. So the titles kind of sort of give you an idea of what might be there.
Okay.
And within those, there's lists of permitted uses, special uses, permits for other uses, and then also outline setbacks, how far, if you're in a residential one, how far your house has to be from a lot line when you build, things you can and can't do in a residential zone.
So they begin with R1, and how long ago was that, and where are they in the process?
R1 would have been last year. I would have to go back and look. Probably summer.
Okay.
A couple of meetings for R1, and the hot topic for that one, and it had public input, was short-term rentals, which we're calling short-term rentals now. It was called, it's kind of the term
B&B
we're using, but it was Airbnb, the
right.
Trademark term.
Got it.
Was the key word that, you know, we were folks that came, we really don't want that in single family R1 residential areas. We really don't like also short-term rentals. So that came out pretty loud with that group. Part of the struggle was, okay, what constitutes a rental versus a family unit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if non-relatives are sharing the costs of a house, are they considered a family, or how does that work when they're sharing the cost? So that was part of the discussion. And it'll get – so Title 17 – first has to be, by code, has to be looked at and make a recommendation by P&Z, and then of course any code changes goes to council. So it'll have another chance. I'm thinking it'll be another chance at P&Z to go over this again, because once we go through commercial, there may be things in commercial, you know, that might really work in R3.
So you may do some
cycling back and
so on. Do you have a just to get
is there a schedule of how we're going to do this?
Like, when's it? Well, there are two things. Walking through it, there seems to be a heightened interest, and I know that you've done due diligence and you've advertised and people are made aware. But I'm thinking that, for example, there were some people who maybe watched this thing. They came to the P&Z. Mm-hmm. But as time is going on, perhaps this is achieving a higher profile, and there are going to be more people interested.
Sure, we hope
in the process. And when we start talking about the Airbnb type of thing, the segue for me is into something which become a hot topic, which is ADUs. I mean, there we go.
Yes, and that was it was briefly touched. So ADUs are accessory dwelling units, and the council. The council and P&Z addressed it years ago, 2007, almost 11 years ago. That's when the ordinance was approved. I'm sure there was a good 6 to 12 months of discussion, maybe longer, on how to where we got to where we were. But I think a lot of that came about because of what are called mother-in-law apartments or converting garages, which I don't know that converting a garage would be considered an accessory dwelling unit. But when you go beyond the garage and add on to a house detached, a shed converted to a workshop.
Or if you convert that garage into a true separate, in other words, you provide perhaps kitchen and bath facilities within that garage as well as a small sleeping area.
Yes. So when it starts to bleed over into something other than your single family unit, that's where the issues start to crop up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ties into the short-term rental or even a long-term rental. If you build – and there's certain restrictions on where you can – how big things can be. You have to have a certain lot size to be able to handle another dwelling. Or even if you wanted to expand your house, we have setbacks, so you can't expand beyond the setbacks. So if you have – Palmer has some small lots, and some houses have fully taken up every square foot that you can on your lot – without encroaching on your setbacks. So there are restrictions that are in place now that make sense. There are a couple that, you know, we're kind of – the administration is scratching our heads because we weren't involved in the process. What drove this particular line in code? And that's what needs to be updated. You know, it's been 10 years. Does this particular line make sense?
Well, and also because what's happened, in Anchorage and other places that can a variety of places in Alaska and elsewhere, is that ADUs have become a more go-to type of way of doing the kinds of thing the comprehensive plan suggested with densification of mm-hmm. your city, and with the guidelines, always the proviso there, the guidelines that these will be appropriate from a safety standpoint and be somewhat attractive, whatever you want to do. But I guess my question is, since this seems to be something that is proving itself nationwide,
mm-hmm.
And we're in the process of looking at the code at the present time, is this one of the higher profile topics associated with this review that is coming along. And is it possible or at all desirable to focus on some of the areas of the code that seem to be most in need of review, understanding that when you touch something here, it affects something there?
Yes.
Because there's something of a feeling that, well, this is going to go on for a couple more years. You're never going to get to it.
My research has shown that zoning reviews can take anywhere from 3 to 5 years.
Whoa.
From the start till the time that it becomes law. And it wouldn't be uncommon here. It takes a couple of months for each section. Because the first P&Z first meeting is, okay, here's what we have. Let's review it. Okay, here are staff, go research. Here are some things we'd like to explore. Staff research. The next month, okay, here's the staff research. Here's some recommendations to get at the ideas you've thrown around where other places have done this. And then, again, if there's any public comment, input on, you know, the recommended changes. And then the next meeting, a third meeting on the same zone, okay, we're going to recommend and adopt these changes in our draft new Title 17. Okay. So 3 months for one zone, and we have, I don't know, 17, 18.
So
it is a long process.
If
there's change, you know, we got to change this now. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a process for that.
Okay.
And we haven't come across that yet.
So in other words, if there were, let's put it this way, either identified or a groundswell of opinion identifying a certain area that thought should be looked at and the council were to go along with it, there's a parallel process that would allow for fast-tracking action on.
Oh, sure. And that's, you know, anytime. Like that group last night, or last or Tuesday, they could come to planning and zoning and say – give their here's our opinion on what needs to be changed and get to it when you do it, or you need to fix this now.
Okay.
And the planning zoning can say, we agree, we need to fix that now. Or if the body says it's important, we need to give it thorough review, three meetings or public hearings. Or,
sure.
So it's, yeah, there's just like we did parking. So the young lady that came to talk about the RV parking, that right. was changed last year. And that was at the behest of the council. You know, there's been complaints about RV parking throughout the city, not just on Alaska Street. RV parking downtown. We don't want RVs parked overnight on our
on the streets on
downtown.
Right.
And
that had been
commercial
looked at and
streets
looked at and addressed and so on. And for those listeners who weren't there, an individual came in and commented that she had an RV and would park it overnight because they're going to leave in the morning or whatever, and wanted to be able to do that. And the answer seems to be no.
No. Not on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, no. We try to make it so that we're not so restrictive that we're meeting the needs of our citizens. And one part was, you know, if I want to go camping, I want to load on Friday so I can move out on Saturday. Well, that makes sense. Are we really concerned about parking so much in residential areas on weekends? Yes and no, but we really need to give them an opportunity. So Friday night through Monday morning, so when you come back, you can unload.
Sure.
But put it back in your yard or put it in your storage lot. So it wasn't this big edict, you cannot park your RVs. We tried to, with a little bit of public testimony, I think there was two meetings for it. No, there was. There was a public hearing. There was an intro and public hearing to get input on that particular ordinance. And it was done within about 2 months.
Okay. Mike Malevsky, and I'm talking with Nate Wallace, who's city manager of the city of Palmer. We've been looking at the future of change in some respects, the opportunities and the ways in which a citizenry can be involved in the process that's being used by P&Z and the council in order to take a look at what's in place and make improvements. I know that the P&Z has a lot of work to do. And when I've approached people, because as I understood, there are two openings on
there are
the P&Z.
Great opportunity if you want to get involved. submit your, there's an application at the clerk's office, get your name in, the mayor will make a recommendation, and the council will appoint you.
Because it's nice to have a full board when you're doing these things, just to make sure you have a quorum and make sure the work gets done.
Yes.
And that PNZ group meets, is it once a month or twice a month?
It's
now?
Once a month.
Once a month.
It's the third Thursday of the month, I believe.
Third Thursday of the month. Yep. Okay. Well, there you go. If you're a listener out there and you say, you know, I've been concerned or interested, you have not only one but two opportunities to do that.
That is, and it's a very important board. All our boards are important, but this one is it's got different requirements and standards that they have to address. So it's a very important board for the city, and what a great opportunity if you're concerned about the land use in Palmer. That's a get your name in.
Okay. Well, I've guided this in discussion in a couple of directions, and we have a minute or two left. So I'm curious if you want to share any other news, et cetera, about the city before we finish up.
Well, it's kind of the lull period between events. Colony Days was huge, and we got to take a deep breath the weekend after. But the weekend after was just as beautiful for weather and big crowds. We've got nothing in the city planned for 4th of July, so we support our neighbors. Wasilla has the 4th of July. We take Christmas, they take 4th of July.
Sure.
So if you're looking for something to do, there's things in Palmer, but the concert and rodeo in Wasilla look like it'd be a pretty big event. Of course, our miners will be out of town for the week.
Right.
But the fall, once 4th of July week has passed, we've got the Garden Fair and Art Walk or Wine Walk
right
coming up. And that's another big event for Palmer. We look forward to that.
And Palmer Pride.
Of course, at the end of the month. That's
right. It all
and then the
flows.
State Fair Parade and the State Fair. Just,
and then the summer's over.
Okay. No, there's a lot to do in Palmer still before the snow comes.
Well, I want to just touch, we have a minute here, maybe I won't. We'll leave that for later because we'll open up all kinds of things. Nate Wallace, I want to thank you for coming in here today and sharing. And I know that your office is always open to hear from people. And I think the important suggestion that was made earlier, that the PNZ is a place where if you have some not only concerns but recommendations, that's a good place to go because they can speed up a process if necessary.
Oh, yeah. And if it's something they're not thinking about, you know, just like the group came in, that wasn't on the agenda, and they came in to talk about issues that were important to them. And you do the same thing with the PNZ. You do the same thing with Parks and Rec. If you've got an issue that you want addressed, bring it up.
Make it happen.
Come to council. Come to a commission. Come to a board. The more public input, citizen input, it can only make us better.
Okay. Thank you again.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.